Greetings and welcome to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will continue our series of studies on the topic Bible, Bible, Who's Got the Bible? This is a follow-up to our series of studies on finding life. We spoke on how to find life, how to get life, how to learn life, and how to live life. And we saw that the first step in that, finding life, involves finding an objective standard where God's life is located. That objective standard is the Word of God. But once we know that the Word of God is where God's life is located, we then need to seek to locate and identify the true Word of God. And that's what this series of studies this month is covering. We're happy that you've tuned in with us. We invite you to get a pen or pencil and some paper to take down our contact information at the end of the program. And until then, let's turn to John chapter 6 and verse number 63. John chapter 6 and verse number 63. John 6:63 is our starting point for this series of studies. And it's our starting point because it identifies for us the importance of the words of God. In fact, this is a verse we're going to be focusing on today, every word inspired by God. And this verse points out the importance of the words. Notice what Jesus Christ said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The words, plural, that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus said, "I'm speaking words unto you, and those words are life." Notice that he didn't just say, "the word I speak." It's not just thoughts and ideas and concepts. It's the words that are important. And we want to talk today about those words and about the inspiration of the Bible. We saw last week that there are different Bibles out there. And that when you go into a bookstore and you see that shelf of Bibles all set up there, they're not all the same. There are differences in those Bibles. There's differences between a King James Bible and a New King James Bible and a New International Version of the Bible. And as we go on in our series of studies, we'll talk about those differences and why they're there. We saw last week that those differences, any one might seem to be rather minor, but when you take them as a whole, there's actually quite a bit of difference. And given the fact that God puts great importance on His words, the individual words, and Satan's plan is to corrupt God's word, then we need to take great care to be able to identify exactly where God's word is. Now today, we want to look at the issue of inspiration. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. "The words that I speak to you," Jesus Christ said, "they are spirit and they are life." How do those words, though, that Jesus Christ spoke, get onto the page? Well, the way that those words get onto the page is by a process that the Scriptures call inspiration. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 is one of the most common passages about this issue. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's inspired by Him. And it's given that the man of God might be perfect, that it might complete us. So we want to talk today about that process of inspiration and what it means to say that God's Word is inspired. Inspiration. All Scripture given by inspiration of God and profitable. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 22. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 22. We read this. I'm sorry, verse number 20. "Knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The issue in inspiration is in understanding that the words on the page, when we say a word is inspired, we're saying that that word didn't originate with the author. That word, those words there that we just read in 2 Peter, didn't originate with Peter. The words that we read in 2 Timothy didn't originate with Paul, but that their inspiration, that their origin rather, is supernatural. And through a process of inspiration, God allowed His thoughts, His supernatural, godly thoughts and ideas and concepts to be placed into human language, human words. That's what inspiration does. It takes those thoughts and those ideas and those concepts of God and it reduces them to language, to human language. And it then places those words onto a page. Let's look at some illustrations. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1 and verse 16. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 16. And we read this. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Notice how he says that. It's spoken by, or rather, it's the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. The Holy Ghost is the originator of the words, but they are spoken by David. That's what inspiration is all about. Inspiration is about words on a page that didn't originate with the author, with the person that wrote it down, but that originated with God. The Holy Spirit spoke by the mouth of David. Turn with me if you go to the book of Acts, still in Acts, and chapter 28. Acts chapter 28 and verse number 25. Again, an illustration of the words originating with God. Acts 28 and verse number 25. And when they had agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers. Well spoke the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers. How did the Holy Ghost speak? By Esaias. And that's the New Testament name for Isaiah. Just the Greek spelling of Isaiah. Isaiah, the prophet, spoke, but the Holy Ghost spake by Isaiah, Esaias, the prophet. That's the key. The key to inspiration. Now, sometimes the word inspiration is used in another way. Someone will read a book or see a movie, and they'll say, oh, that was just inspired. Well, that's just simply saying that it's a high level of human achievement. That it was a very good book or a very good movie, and whoever wrote it really had great creativity and talent. That was an inspired book. But when the Bible uses the term, but still the origin of that is with the person that did the writing. The origin is that is with the human wisdom of that person that did the writing or wrote the play that became the movie or whatever the case might be. When the Bible uses the term inspiration, it means that the origin is supernatural. The origin is somewhere else. The origin is not with that writer. The origin is not with Luke in the book of Acts. The origin is not with Isaiah as the Spirit speaks through him. The origin is not with David as the Spirit speaks through him. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Well, those words didn't originate with man. They originated with God. In fact, they are the very words of God. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew, chapter 4, and verse 4. Matthew 4, 4. And Matthew 4, 4 Matthew, chapter 4, and verse 4. Jesus Christ says this. He's actually quoting the Old Testament here. But he answered, he, Jesus Christ, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 8. every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So what is inspiration? Well, inspiration is the thoughts of God that then become human words, and those words then are written down. God's thoughts in His mind are translated into human words, words of language that we can understand. Those words are then written down. All Scripture. Scripture is something that's written down. All Scripture is inspired by God. It's not just revealing truth. It's not just revelation. It's not just God telling us something. It's God writing down something. Let's just illustrate what the difference would be. If I were to just speak to you here on the broadcast a list of 1,000 phone numbers, names and phone numbers, names and phone numbers, names and phone numbers, 1,000 of them, I would have revealed those phone numbers to you. But it's of little value because you can't access it. It's not accessible to you. But now if I were to take those phone numbers and the names and put the names and the phone numbers down in a list and alphabetize that list so you could find the name you're looking for quickly and then give you those 1,000 phone numbers that way, that would be of value because that makes it accessible to you. Because now you've got it in writing. Well, what inspiration does is take those thoughts of God, put them into human words. It puts those words out there. Men speak those words. But then it even goes beyond just men speaking the words. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The prophet Isaiah spake by the Holy Ghost. David spake by the Holy Ghost. But those words also are written down. That's the final step that makes inspiration what it is, because inspiration, writing it down, makes it accessible to you. It makes sure that you have access to it. You see, if God had just spoken the word to Isaiah, and then Isaiah spoke the word to those that heard him, and you're here hundreds of years later, how would you know what Isaiah said? At best, you would have a verbal history passed down of what Isaiah said, but that's not what you have. You have a written record of exactly what Isaiah said. You know, when you go into a court of law and you testify, and there's a court stenographer there taking down all those words, why do they do that? Everybody's there. Everybody can hear. The attorneys can hear what you said. The other witnesses can hear what you said. The jury can hear what you said. The judge can hear what you said. Why write it all down? Because it needs to be accessible. Because that jury or that judge or those attorneys need to be able to go back, maybe even years later when the case is appealed or some new evidence comes up, and see what did they say exactly. And those words have to be taken down very accurately. And you see, God's Word is the record, is the account of every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's God giving those words, not just by speaking them, and not just by His servants speaking them, but by those words being written down. And the issue again, as we saw last week, is on the words, the individual words. Turn to the book of Jeremiah. In fact, before you turn to Jeremiah, turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 8. Remember the passage we read there in Acts chapter 28 said that the Holy Ghost spake by Isaiah the prophet. Well, not only did the Holy Ghost speak by Isaiah the prophet, but those things that the Holy Ghost spake by Isaiah the prophet were also written down by Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 8. Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. Write it before them in a table and note it in a book. Inspiration. It's not just spoken words, it's written words. Your access to life, remember that's what we're talking about this month. How do you know that you have the book that gives you access to life? You have to have the words of God written down in a book. Just the spoken word of God out there, you wouldn't have it available to you after all these thousands of years since that word was penned. You have to have it available to you. And you have it available to you because it's written down. And every word is written down. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Last week we talked about the importance of all the words and how, you know, if you leave a word out here, leave a word out there, it makes a difference. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I will send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now listen to verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. The thoughts of God put into human words, spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Jeremiah chapter 36. Jeremiah chapter 36 and verse number 1. Now, remember, Jeremiah chapter 1, what did God do? He put words in Isaiah's mouth. His thoughts, his ideas, his concepts put into human words and put into the mouth of Jeremiah the prophet. But it didn't stop there. Jeremiah chapter 36 verse 1. It came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim the son of Josiah king of Judah that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord saying, Take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. You take a roll of a book, Jeremiah, and you write in it the things that I've told you. The words, plural. You write the words. Verse 6, Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. Jeremiah, you write it down and then you go read it to the people. You go read it to the children of Israel so they'll know what I said. So you see, writing it down becomes important, and writing every word down becomes important. Turn to the book of John. John chapter 8. I want to just look at a couple instances here where Jesus Christ will hang a very important argument, a very important point on a single word. And you better have the right word, or it means nothing. John chapter 8, verse number 56. John 8, verse number 56. John 8, 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself, went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. I saw Abraham rejoice to see my day. I knew Abraham. And they said, Wait, you're not 50 years old yet. How could you know Abraham? Before Abraham was, I am. You notice Jesus Christ didn't say, Before Abraham was, I was. Before Abraham was, I am. Why is that important? Because when Moses said to God, back in the book of Exodus, Who shall I say has sent me? When I say to the children of Israel, God sent me with this message, and they're going to say, no, he didn't. Who sent you with this message? God said, you tell them, I am that I am has sent you. The great I am. So when Jesus Christ said, before Abraham was, I am, is that one little word, am, important? If it was just the word was, would that make a difference? Sure would. You see, the inspiration, these thoughts of God have to be put into very precise words and then written down. And that word was written down in Exodus, I am that I am. Jesus Christ said it again, and it's written down again here in the book of John, I am. And you have it today, 2,000 years later from the book of John, Jesus Christ is the I am. See, the words are important, and deviation from those words is deadly. Galatians chapter 3, let's look at another example. Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, Jesus Christ is going to hang an argument about who he is, not even just on a word, but on a letter, on a single letter. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 9. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 9. So then, they which are of the which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. They that are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Down to verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, plural as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. To Abraham and his seed were the promises made, not seeds. You know, your whole salvation and justification, look down to the verse 29. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Your blessing, your salvation, your justification is all contingent on the fact that that promise to Abraham was made to Abraham's seed. Not seeds, as of many, but as of one, which is Christ. And you are blessed if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Your blessing comes because God was very careful about his wording. I'm going to bless the seed of Abraham, not the seeds. And that seed of Abraham is Christ. And in Christ you are blessed. One other thing we need to understand about inspiration is that inspiration has concluded. It's ended. God's word is complete. Let's get two passages very quickly. Luke chapter 24 and Colossians chapter 1. Luke chapter 24. In Luke 24, Jesus Christ sets the Old Testament canon. He puts in place, here's what the Old Testament is, here's what it consists of. Luke 24, 44. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. The law, the prophets, and the Psalms. That's the Old Testament. And in a Jewish Bible, you'll find it that way. The law, the Psalms, and the prophets. What about the rest, the New Testament? Colossians chapter 1. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul tells us something about the information, the revelation of the mystery given to him. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 25. Let's start at verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Paul says, this mystery information that I'm receiving, and we'll talk more about the mystery when we talk about learning life in a couple of series out, that mystery information fulfilled. It filled up the Word of God. So written revelation is complete. Somebody tells you, God told me this, God told me that, look at this, God gave me this, it's a lie. It's a lie. No matter how fervently they believe it, it's not true. Inspiration.